What's up, everyone? And this is Next Level Thinking. What's up, everyone? It's another episode of Next Level Thinking. It's your host, Chris Holmes, always bring you great inspirational guests. And today I have a special guest by the name of
Angelique Bates.
Awesome. Also known from the TV show, It's All That. So tell the audience a little bit about yourself as we dive right into it.
Those that know me, they probably remember me from Nickelodeon's All That. I was one of the first Black Haitian Native American females to be on that show. Those that don't know me, I've been in the industry since I was 9 months old. Started out in theater. My mom had me in this since I was a baby, and pretty much I've just been rocking. I'm a vet to the game.
Nice. And that's what it's all about, is keep coming forward and overcoming adversity. But let's go ahead into the origin story. So how did you get into this? Like, how did it all start? You just like saw like a favorite actress and just say, I'm gonna
No. Okay. So my mom, she put me in when I was pretty much a baby. She said that I had said hi or something. Like, I think before I was one. It's a story that she says behind it, but it made her put me into acting. My first gig was a Borax ad. I'm not sure if you remember. I don't know if you look at classics, old classic shows, but it was The Odd Couple.
Okay.
And it was Tony Lando and all of them. And he was the star of this Borax ad. It was an old detergent. And I was a baby in it. So from then on, I was just doing a lot of acting. I did an AT&T commercial back. My commercial used to air with the Lou Ross telethon. And okay. That was back when they used to have, well, they still have it.
Was that during the flip phone? Wait a minute, was that the flip phone? Or was it the, which one was the switch?
That was the block. Matter of fact, wait a minute. I don't even think we had the cell phones yet.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't even think cell phones was made yet. But that was back in the period where, you know, they had the black and white version of the commercials. Mm-hmm. We still have it, but it was more obvious back then. They would show the black commercials at night, which would be like the late night with Lou Ross.
Like everything cuts off and then just straight commercials, like no more TV shows, I think.
Right. So my commercial used to air then, and then I did a lot of theater. So my love has always been theater. I pretty much grew up in theater. I did a couple of independent films. I did a film called Sweet Potato Ride with Dewan Guy. He's from Candyman. This is like a movie that we all started out with Sean Noll. I think he did a movie. He did so many movies. I can't remember how many movies for Sean Otto, but we all started off as child stars. It was crazy, like before any of us got like our major break. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up getting on that, which was actually, I was in a talent show, Ivar Theater, where I got discovered by the creator who he created Unsolved Mysteries.
And interesting how we go from Unsolved Mysteries.
I know, right?
Like from dark to light.
Exactly. So it was crazy. So yeah, Unsolved Mysteries, but he was best friends with my agent that got me the All That, rest in peace. And he had him come to the talent show to see me, and he ended up liking what he saw and pretty much wanted to sign me on the spot. And then the rest was history.
I don't want to go too fast, but like, what was your initial emotional reaction when you were like, hold up, me? Like, what was going through your head?
What was crazy is, okay, so I think when I did that talent show, I was probably 10 or 11 years old. Like I said, I was doing theater. So being on TV wasn't really like something that was an object of mine.
Gotcha.
It was just like, I just loved doing, my mom had me like doing extensive training. Like, to be quite honest, I was in singing conservatories. Mm-hmm. You know, I was singing Whitney Houston songs, Mariah Carey songs. Like, that's,
yeah, I ain't got no sense.
Right. Right. Like back then I hit them notes. Like, I haven't been in intensive training since, so I wouldn't try it. I'm more of a T-boss style now. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, like, a lot of people don't even realize, like, I, you know, especially if I get back into training, I can actually sing. So that was really what my goal was in life. I wanted to be a singer. Mm-hmm. And that's where the theater would come in, because, you know, you're getting to sing and you're getting to dance. So like I said, that was my love. Like, if I had never been on TV, me being on Broadway, like, I could have did that for like the rest of my life. So when they were talking about these auditions, like, I had had an audition, I had an agent before, obviously, but we weren't going out on like really a lot of major stuff. So, you know, when he was just like, oh, I want to sign, because the thing was, I had an agent at the time. Actually, Rashawn Nall and me had the same agent.
Okay, I want to slow down a little bit. So like, because I'm pretty sure you have like actors and actresses probably like in the same kind of field as you. And they're probably like, how did you get access? I'm going to ask, how did you get access to an agent? Because I'm clueless when it comes to this.
Okay, so from that era, see, I'll probably be able to answer that question after I wasn't a kid anymore. My mom put me in everything.
Okay, guys.
So I know that from the era that I came from, you guys don't have to worry about that anymore with the hard copy headshots and the and the snail mail. You guys are doing emails and all of that. Back then, she just used to submit me. She used to mail out a lot of headshots. She would go to the agencies. One thing that she did do, the agent that I had, she didn't submit me for a lot of projects. She pretty much had shelved me. And when this agent came in, if he hadn't come in when he had, I would have missed that audition, because
so that close.
Yeah, she submitted my buddy. And when we saw each other in the audition room, he thought that she had submitted me. So it had gotten back to the agency that, hey, I saw Angelique there. So when she found out, all of a sudden I had all these auditions this week coming up, and we were like, oh, okay, she must have found out that I was there. And the thing is, if she had submitted me, she would have been the one getting paid off of that, off of all that, because I ended up obviously booking in, and look at it, it's iconic right now. But as far as the agency process where I came into play and got older and booking agents, it was a little bit more difficult. And I think that's something that a lot of us are dealing with now in the current phase. It's really hard because a lot of them they're private and they don't take unsolicited submissions. So a lot of them are recommendations, but I definitely was blessed to be with a lot of good agencies. Like, I was with Abrams, which is, oh my God, I was with them for theatrical, commercial, and voiceover. Which was unheard of. And the manager that I had at the time, he knew one of the agents over there and got me in. And I loved it over there. The only reason why I'm not still over there is that the agent that was there at the time decided to leave. And instead of leaving her clients, which you're technically supposed to do, she took some of us with her to another agency, and we ended up getting shot there, shelved there. So, you know, once you kind of get took, it's really hard to get back into the agency that you were at. So from that point on, it was kind of difficult, because like the agent that I had that had booked me on all that, he would definitely get me out on the submissions, but I had an issue with the contract negotiating.
Gotcha.
Because with all that, I wasn't getting any residuals.
What?
Yeah, I just saw my first residual check last year.
That's like, you might want to wait a minute. Where are my money at? Wait.
Yeah. He got me like the auditions, but he was horrible.
With contract negotiation and all the other extra, like the really fine print detail parts.
Yeah, and I remember even when we did the 100th episode reunion, you know, we were like, and I was a little bit older. I think I probably was 18 at the time, or freshly getting ready to turn 18. And I was just like, hey, make sure you ask for residuals. But you see, you got to remember, we were going from that era of cable just now starting to blow up to where you're now starting to have the reruns, and you're starting to have the different streams and the internet. So things were still uncharted, you know, land for people. So when I told him, I'll never forget it. I was just like, hey, you know, make sure that you ask for residuals this time. And I remember he was like, oh, well, it's live. They're only going to show it one time. they showed that thing like multiple. I don't know multiple times. And you know, and that was me trying to go back to him, because for the most part I'm very loyal. Like, you know, if I started out with you and you were there, like I stay with you to the end as long as everything is cool. And I will never forget that. Like they aired it all the time, and then that's when the internet and the streaming, and then they started doing toys. They had the CD. Then they had the merchandise, and he didn't have any of that covered. And I think a lot of our agents didn't. But a lot of the other cast members made it to other seasons, so they were able to renegotiate their contracts.
Gotcha. That's one of those things where it's like a tough lesson learned, but you learn so much of it. But if it was me, I'd be me. Oh,
I was upset, bitter.
I'm just saying. Just imagine you walking through the store like, oh, there's another product. Oh, there's another advertisement. Okay.
Yeah. But I had so many fans that were coming up to me about, you know, just the album. Like, I think I found out that one of the sketches is on, because I still haven't heard the album, believe it or not. But I think I had a lot of fans coming telling me that one of the sketches was on there. They're like, you're on the album. They're like, oh, my God. And I was like, really? That was something that if the contract had been right, we would have got a, well, I can't say we, because I don't know what everyone else got paid, but me. I would have gotten paid. That was around the era too, that right before I had gotten released, they were working on the Good Burger script.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger, may I take you
over? Yeah, and I would have been Beth, because obviously I was Beth in the show, but then when I got released, they recast it. So I would have had that franchise too, the Good Burger movie franchise. So that would have been a whole different paycheck. But yeah, we a lot of us did not start getting paid in the last couple of years. And like I said, I didn't see my first residual check until last year, and it was like $20-something. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, when you have like Family Matters and you have like all of them, with you hear how they were like living, and Bill Cosby living off the residuals, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, especially like long term, because especially when the business, because I'm in college for business, it's like all those like fine little details, you want to make sure that you take care of them on a long term. Because it's just pay attention to your contract and have the people that you actually trust and actually look for you on your best benefit. Because we all hear these stories multiple over times. Again, it's frustrating, but it happens.
Right. And I think it was harder for us because we actually paved the way. Like, we were the test run. You know, like I said, when all that came, first of all, we were the first children's version of sketch comedy. We were the children's version of In Living Color and Saturday Night Live.
Living, man. You about to be 90s. That's my era.
You know, like, and cable was just now popping. So those contracts were different, you know? So I don't want to like point the finger, but parent wise and even, you know, representation wise, people didn't know. Like, it was brand new and nobody knew all that was going to be what it was. It was
just one of those things, I guess, like, okay, let's try something. And then like, oh, it's actually
caught. Right. And we were just kids that were like having fun. Like, I'd say probably the main professional was Keenan, because Keenan came from Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like an OG to it already, you know? So he's like the movie star, you know, some of us were doing pilots and independent films, and others were coming straight out of acting class. So, you know, it was different levels to it.
Gotcha. All great answers. And thank you for sharing it, because that's definitely great information, especially for those who also want to go in and pursue their dreams and passion, to be mindful of different things so that they are, make sure they are taken care of in the long term, because they do not want to, you know, that's how it's all about, like, life, learn from others so that you can have a greater success in the future. That's what it's all about. So with that, I want to go ahead and, if it's okay, like, kind of dive into, like, I think there was a moment that kind of disconnected from the show, I believe. Mm-hmm. Do you mind going into that?
I mean, it's probably still a disconnect, but I think I know what you're talking about.
That's what I'm asking.
I normally don't talk about it, but because of the basis of this platform, I will, because you've probably really been the most respectful about it.
Look, you don't have to.
Because, you know, normally when I get asked about it, it's more for ratings, or, you know, just to, it's stuff that people already know, but to help. So there was child abuse, you know, on my mother's side of the aspect. It happened actually before I even ended up on the show, to be quite honest. So a lot of people had a misunderstanding. Well, actually, no, they understood what was happening, but you have people that want to do clickbait and they want to hear what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And then they want to run with it and they want to be like, oh, well, I was there or I know her and never mm-hmm. even knew me. The production never did anything as far as abuse to me at all. I can't speak for anyone else. I can only speak for myself. But where the issue was is that they knew. So, yeah. So, you know, they knew. So, you know, this was, like I said, there was abuse going on before I got on the show. So you have pilot, you have first season, and then you have second season. It's so funny. Like I kind of relate to the original Aunt Viv's story.
Oh man, we're going with all my shows.
Yeah, with you know, from Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and I didn't realize how similar our stories really are. Like no one knew that she. Well, in her case, no one knew that she was being abused and that she was pregnant. In my case, yeah. In my case, you know, enough people knew. So when second season came around, where it became the issue is when the law got involved. So that's when everyone had to try to hurry up and clean everything up. Now, so it wasn't like it just all of a sudden just happened, you
know.
It was
already there, just nobody said anything.
Yeah. So if honestly, if, you know, child services and the police hadn't been involved in the second season, I probably would have been in the Good Burger movie. I would have made it third season, fourth season.
Because I think when I was done, I was like, well, where's she at? I was like, wait a minute, where's the original? Because I'm young, so I'm going to notice the difference.
Well, being that I was like the only black girl too, like you're going to notice. So, you know, I was supposed to come back because I was from California. So, and that's where they ended up moving to. And actually, I had a single out at the time and I was going to perform the single on the next season. I was told that I could. And because, you know, Kel had just finished performing his single and he had his rap group. So it was like all of us, you know, were doing our thing or whatever. And that I remember getting that call from my agent, but it was like, when child service came, because I remember it was the Monifa episode, I was getting ready to go up and introduce her. And right when I was getting ready to go up and introduce her, one of the adults came and got me and told me I was needed upstairs. So actually, I'm telling you like an exclusive, because I've never even told anyone this part. But
like I said, like
So I remember they grabbed me, and second season my lines had already gotten cut down because of a lot of stuff that was going on, and there were politics going on, and my mom was like a double-edged sword. It was like she was protecting me from things,
but she'll then slice you up.
Yeah, right. So you know, like I had to deal with what was going on at home, but then it was like she was protecting me from the industry as well, and I probably would have been a different story if it hadn't been for that. Gotcha. They grabbed me. They ended up giving my line to Elisa, and second season I barely had any lines already as it was. And I think I think the Monifa episode, that was like my one only line, I think. So the one line I had, it just got given away. And I was taken upstairs. And a lot of us only went upstairs to like do voiceover. So I get taken to the president's office and I'm just like, you know, like I already knew because everything had just happened the day before. And I remember just sitting there was the president and it was like, it was two other people. I still to this day, I can't remember. But, you know, I just started bawling because I just knew, you know, like you know, like when you go and especially if it's not in a good note and you
and then and it's just energy to you, like it's hard to know.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is it. So I started bawling. I'm just like, they're like, why are you crying? I'm like, because you're gonna fire me. Like I just knew. And so they're like, no, everything is gonna be okay. You know, we're just making sure you're okay. You know, we heard what happened. They heard because the law got involved. So it's like, you knew what happened already. But what I didn't know is that my mom at the time was in one of the other rooms being interviewed. So we had pagers back then. And I think they took one of the landlines, and my mom, either they had me call my mom or my mom called me. And but she never told me that she was actually on the premises being interviewed. So I found that out later. And so after that, I said, they're like, Angelique, you're coming back next season. They promised me. They're like, you're coming back next season. Just go back down and, you know, just finish. So I went back down. My scene had already been filmed. So that was pretty much, because when anytime we did the closings, that was pretty much it for the day. So that was it. So, you know, the day was over. I don't remember if that was the last episode of the season. I feel like we had a couple more, but it was just ended up being that big elephant in the room. You know, it's like everybody knew, because it's like now you can't hide it because
it's there. It has to be addressed. There.
So what do you do? So we end up, you know, going back to our different states where we were from. And like I said, my agent ends up calling me because I knew they were getting ready to the Good Burger movie. And everybody, I remember Brandy and I was getting all these different calls because, you know, back, you know, when you're on TV, everyone loves you. You're everyone's friend. And I was getting all these calls and you're like, oh my God, congratulations. You're going to be in the new movie because the script was going out already. And like I said, I was still kind of like, even though I was in the game, I didn't know about the whole audition, like the move, they were auditioning for the movie. I didn't know that. So when people were seeing the size, they knew
already
that
was, expected you. Yeah.
Because I was
back. Too.
Yeah. I was back.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm getting all these congratulations. But at that particular point in time, when everybody was calling me, I knew I had been released because my agent had just called me with the news. And he was just like, I have bad news. They released you. So, oh my God, like it was one of those old movies. Like I can kind of laugh about it now, but you know, when it's like Ricky dies, it's like, it's like, no, like I just was up against the wall and just like fell to the floor, you know, but it was really hard. And then it was just like, because this wasn't social media era, the news didn't travel as fast until they started.
It took a minute. And by the time, I guess, the movie released, then I guess it kind of caught up.
Well, it wasn't even the movie that they noticed. They noticed when all that started filming in California. Because remember, I was from California.
True.
So everybody that knew me was California based. So they go into the show. You know, and I remember even Nick. Nick was a fan originally in the beginning. And I was in San Diego doing, I used to do this thing yearly called Concert of the Stars. And he was dating Alexis Fields and me and Alexis were cool. And I remember them coming into my dressing room and she was like, hey girl. And I was like, hey, what's up? And I remember Nick came in and he was from San Diego. And I think, I didn't know that he was doing stand-up or warming up for Kenan and Kel show. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he was just a fan, but he didn't know that I wasn't coming back. I knew at this particular point in time I was. I just didn't tell anybody. And he was just like, hey, so I have this opportunity to audition for all that. He was nervous. Like, he didn't really know if he should. And he asked me, you know, what did I think? Did I think that he should audition for all that? And I remember
he has the OG, triple OG, like you're like, you know.
Yeah. And I remember telling him, and this was hard for me because like I said, I've been fired. Like I know it, but nobody else knows because the new season he ended up being on the new season. And I was like, you know what? I said, they love the black male. Like that's one thing I will say, Nickelodeon, like if you pay attention to the shows, the males get a lot of work. So I said, black male wise, I said, they will love you. I was like, you know, I can't really speak for anyone else, but I said, do it. Had no idea it was going to turn to what it did. But, you know, I ended up seeing him like the next season. I was just like, wow. But that's when everyone knew that I wasn't on the show. But from that point, like I felt on Viv when she said, the worst thing that you can do is murder for a black woman is to say that she's difficult. So it was triple murder for me because I was a kid. So then you guys are saying that, you know, I guess I was unruly or not able to be managed. And then you have the stage mom, quote, quote. So, you know, she got hit with the label. So, and then I look a lot younger than I really am. So for like years, I was probably like 21. They still thought I was like 16, 15. And in Hollywood, especially Black Hollywood, they run with stories.
Gotcha.
And there's not really a lot of support there. And people think that there is, but there isn't. And especially if you have your main casting directors, that they have their favorites and they think that they know what's going on. They ride with it because they might have a friend that claimed that they was there, and then that's it. So then you're pretty much blackballed. So I was blackballed. Yeah. So I was blackballed for years. And you know, Viacom is a very big company. Yeah. Their hand goes very, everywhere. Very far. Yes.
The little research, I was like, okay.
Right. So with that being said, like I was still barely working. Like I had booked Boston Public and then I had a Strong Medicine, but just trying to work was really hard because now you have this, because one thing I will say Hollywood doesn't like, they don't like unruly kids. And if they think that you're a brat and all this other stuff,
it's like, oh, here comes a little cloud to cover your show.
Yeah, and then you're right. And then you're black. So at the end of the day, let's not forget I was black. So what might work for another race wasn't working for me.
For you.
So you know, I could have been a base hit in all kinds of stuff in white, and I would be all over your screen right now. But because I was black and they were trying to hide the child abuse,
whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it hit me harder. So trying to work was really hard. I tried to get 9-to-5s. Lord, that didn't work because I have my fan base.
You know what?
So
And
I tried to do 9-to-5s. I worked for, I had a pretty good 9-to-5. I worked for Gap. I was a visual, I did visuals for Gap for probably 5 years. And then I did a lot of stock. I found myself having to do a lot of stock. So hopefully I wouldn't have to be on the floor. That
as soon as you hit that floor, they're like, wait, let me go. It's going to go like this. They're going to like,
oh my God, I got.
And then someone will probably pull out the phone and be like.
Okay, so the funny story about that. So I had no idea. Like I said, remember, we didn't have the internet like that. Mm-hmm. We definitely didn't have the social medias. We might have had Facebook, but Facebook was only for college students.
I took forever to get on Facebook because I was still.
Right.
MySpace.
And it was MySpace. Yeah, I was going to say MySpace. So I remember standing at the cash register. I was the only one, my agent, and this was so funny, when I would turn in my resumes, I guess they must have thought that I was saying I worked at Nickelodeon, like a receptionist or something.
They didn't think you were the actual person in front of
me. Right, so I had Nickelodeon on this resume because I was like the only job reference. So it started hitting them after. But anyway, so I'm at this cash register and I was working in Santa Monica. And I remember this school of Asian kids walking by the store, and we had glass walls so you could see everything. And I remember them walking by, you know, they're all looking in the glass and, you know, nothing out of the norm because we were in a tourist area. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, whatever. My boss goes in the back. I'm the only one on the floor. So I have this one random Asian kid come up to me and goes, "Are you Angelique Bates?"
It was at that moment.
It was at that moment. And I'm like, yo, who, like, first of all, and I'm not trying to sound racist or anything, I wasn't seeing a lot of Asian people. Mm-hmm. So that was hella random for me. And I'm like, how the hell do you know my name? So I'm like, yeah. He gets geeked.
He's like,
runs back out.
That's it.
Runs back. Oh my God. When I say I'm down at the register, because I'm waiting for lunch, like I'm over my shift already. I look back up and I see all these Asian kids up against the glass. Yes. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? So it still hasn't even completely registered. So their teacher or assistant, whatever, comes in.
They're probably like, what are y'all doing?
He comes in and is like, hey, my kids recognize you. You were on Nickelodeon. I'm like, yeah. Well, they want to take like a picture and get your autograph. I was like, so I'm the only one on the floor. I can't leave my register. And right as I'm saying that, my boss, who he was gay and I loved him. I mean, he would be so funny. He came out and he goes like this. He was like, what's going on out here? And I remember, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get fired. Like,
I didn't do anything.
I'm like, I'm going to get fired again.
Yeah. So, I didn't even do anything.
So So he's like, why are there a whole bunch of Asian kids in the store? So I'm like, yo, so I used to be, and that's when he found first found. I said, so I used to be on a show on Nickelodeon and they recognized me. He's like, oh my God. I was like, I told him I can't. He said, no. He said, go. Girl, go take your pictures. And he was like, he was just so happy. He got behind the register, was all geek, because we had like Arnold Schwarzenegger and everybody walking in. He was so excited. So the kids were like, all happy. We're signing. From that, when I say I could get any day off I wanted, I was getting like, oh, he loved me. But yeah, those, it was moments like that. But like I said, I couldn't work no 9 to 5.
Because so, of the attention that you have from the show.
Right. And then you have the not so pleasant attention. You have the ones that's like, oh, why are you working here? Oh, and this is like the one of the main jokes that they love to do. Guess you ain't all that. Or, you know, I was hearing those kind of things. So you have the ignorant ones.
Yeah.
You know, and so all of that messes with you, especially when you were friends with all these entertainment industry people and you see people that you helped get into where they are and they're on shows that you helped them get on, and everyone forgets you and then they turn their back. So, you know, that started kicking in with depression. Like I said, and then I'm starting to have, you know, work issues because now I have
can't get a job because everybody, every time I see it, like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And now you have employees now that are turning quite into
jealous.
Yes. And so then it got a couple of times I had to leave that. So then now I'm unemployed. So no money. I started doing music. And so I was in the studio a lot. So that was like one thing that I was doing. I love music. And I spend a lot of time doing that. I went back to school. Actually, I graduated from high school at the age of 15, 16. Okay. And I went straight to college. Yeah, I went straight to college.
No games, like, don't. This sister got some sense.
Yeah. And I say my biggest regret was not finishing, because my first major was cinematography. Okay. And I was almost done, but I ended up having to transfer from the school that I was in because I had fans and I had stalkers and I was almost being attacked almost every day. So because,
oh my God.
Well, physically attacked, like, because I was a minor in an adult school.
Oh, okay. Understood.
So yeah. And then you had, and I was, I used to run track. So now you have the athletes that like me, but then you have the girls that are mad because the guys really liked me because one, I was young and then I was from the show, but I didn't know the show was still currently running. So you just put a celebrity in the middle of a situation that I'm not knowing I'm a celebrity. And, you know, so just imagine I was fed to the wolves pretty much. So I ended up having to leave that school, but I went to another school where my credits didn't transfer. And I ended up losing all of my credits.
Well, I'm going to say now, like, it's never too late. So let that be a little inspiration for you.
No, you know what? And I needed that because I switched my major. My major is psychology right now because it got to the point where I created my own show. I had a show called Ask Angie, and then I was doing the show called the Talent Show for like 2 seasons. When I did Ask Angie, I actually had brought Eric Benet on and did an interview with him on the show, did a couple of sketch comedies. And then I thought about it. I was like, why am I sitting here going to school for cinematography and I've already made my own shows? I was doing sound and all that. So I had booked a project. And I was just like, oh, I'm back. And I never went back to school. It was a reoccurring that ended up not being a reoccurring. And then I lost momentum. In that period, though, not only was I still recovering from the trauma of the child abuse, but now when I got released, this is one thing I did forget to mention. When I got released, that same year I got raped. I got raped by a fan. So, yeah.
That's a lie.
So,
well, you definitely right. A warrior. Yeah. If you don't make a documentary, I'm going to hit you up again and be like, where the documentary at?
Yeah, everybody says that. But yeah, I got raped by a fan. I was set up. And then I dealt with domestic violence situations after, but it was crazy because I didn't even realize the first domestic violence situation I was in was a domestic violence situation. I didn't like discover I was in domestic violence relationships probably until like a couple years later. But
it's more like verbal.
The first relationship was verbal and then very verbal. And they were very obsessed with me. But you know, some of us
speaker to another one, your arsenals. So
yeah. It's like, you think it's love, you know, a lot of young females, especially, and it's crazy because I was in a room on Clubhouse where they were talking about, do you think childhood trauma goes into adulthood? Yes, it very much does. Mm-hmm. Because you have, and then I came from a single parent home. My dad wasn't there. So you're trying to find love in different aspects and you don't know what love really is. It's like, okay, well, you're thinking, okay, this person upset, oh, well, he really loves me. He may, but it's also, it's very crazy.
I can tell you right now, if you speak on that, you're going to get so much fan base. There's a huge fan base waiting for that. That's why I said, go ahead. You need to
write that book.
The book, you know, the documentary, the speaker. Like, I'm just giving you just all kinds of seeds.
I will say this. The person you see right now, probably 12 years ago, I was not that person. I for years, I was, like I said, I was bitter because my thing
going
was
on to the anger, work.
Because I couldn't work. And I was like, I had a lot of hate towards the network because I was just like, you know, you guys ruined my life. I couldn't work. My thing was, it's one thing to fire someone, but then don't mess up their livelihood. Mm-hmm. Like, if you never want to work with me again, you're entitled to that. But then don't spread rumors, because every day I was hearing different people coming to me telling me what happened or just assuming that they knew. And I'm like,
frustrating.
Right. So for years, so this is where the pivotal moment in me healing and all this other stuff came. It would probably be when Twitter had just been fresh, and I think you guys brought back all that. That's when the 90s are back.
Let me guess, it was like a hashtag or something like that went viral.
Yeah, it was something. It you guys are the reason why all that got put back on TV. You guys had been wanting it for years.
That traffic, when the people speak.
Yes, so that was when, okay, so that was where the pivotal moment came, because years before, I didn't have a platform. I didn't have any way to get to my fans. So everybody was just hearing rumors, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't really saying too much about the network or anything. So I had been being quiet. So all stories were just rummaging.
Roman.
When Twitter came around, that took the power away from all of the networks, social media.
You put it into your hands where you can actually...
Yeah, so when you guys brought back all that, the day that that episode launched, all of us, our phones went nuts. Like, for about hours, it was just alerts. Some of our phones crashed. And then it was like certain people remembered us. And then that's when the fans were just like, what happened to you? And the stories. And then I was still bitter. So my... responses weren't probably as pleasant as they are now.
Yeah, because we're like, I'm still mad.
Right. So, you know, I was telling the truth. And one thing I will say, I've never lied about it, because one thing I have told people, I said, if at any point in time I was lying, I would have been sued and I would have been hit with a cease and desist. So I never was. So with that being said, I had fans coming in telling me how I changed their lives and how I put smiles in their face. And, you know, there's fans that have told me stuff about them being raped that they've never told their family. So I started opening up. I went to therapy for domestic violence, because my kid's father, that's really when it was clear, like, you're in a domestic violence situation. Like, police were involved, restraining orders, like, it was pretty serious. And it was to the point where I had swallowed a whole bottle of pills.
Oh.
So I was in domestic violence therapy for 2 years. But it was in there that I learned that there's the verbal abuse. And I was just like, oh my God, that's domestic violence. Then
because you don't really think about it, because when you hear the word domestic violence, you think of physical.
Physical. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, even like if me and you were to start arguing, And, you know, and we're calling each other all kinds of crazy names. They're like,
yeah, well, that's I'm going to say this. My grandma told me to walk away. She said, my grandma, I was like, oh,
you smart. But I would not have known that that's considered verbal abuse because that goes back into my childhood. So, you know, you get it off or whatever. And some females think that's that city girl life and that's that ride or die. And, you know, no, I'm just going to speak my mind. But it
like
is.
A piece of mind is priceless.
It's verbal abuse. So I went into therapy. I pulled away from the father, the biological father, got out of that situation. And with the social media kicking in, I was able to start healing because I had so many people coming to me. I was always going to church, but I ended up getting baptized at one church in LA. And then that was like a pivotal moment for me. And then I ended up at Spirit Food where I was trying to find a choir for my kids because I grew up in West Angeles. Mm-hmm. And in California, for those that don't know. So with that being said, Kale was attending. This is before he was a pastor. Kale was attending.
That is life. True. You just reminded me. I saw it on the internet. I was like, what? Kale?
Yes. Okay. So it's crazy how everything comes full circle. Mm-hmm. So he, his wife had posted this kid choir. And I was like, on Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, there's a choir. So I hit her up and she was like, yeah, you should come. I brought the kids. They loved it. We never left. I ended up getting rebaptized there. Kale ended up being one of the ones to rebaptize me. My daughter and my son were baptized there, which was, it was pretty awesome. And they actually helped me heal even more. Like, it's just to the point where it's like, whatever happened. Like, I've spoke on it now. Forgiveness. It was something that I just told someone. I said, it's not when you forgive, it's not about okaying what the person did and, you know, just righting them of their wrongs. It's pretty much for you to free yourself so you can have peace.
And I, for I'm all just going to go ahead and like ask for the offering of the church. No, but that right, that's so much. I got to put that's so much weight on that because do you realize how many people out there probably haven't forgave like that yet or holding on to grudges? And that holds so much weight onto you. Like it, yeah. I would even attest to that for myself. I had to do that.
Yeah. You know what? I was still working on it. I have a couple that it's on site and I'm trying to like be the bigger person. Like, I'm just like, you know what? Stay on that side. Please stay on that side. But there have been people that when I said it was on site for years. Like I was, yeah. But now that I'm at an older age, now that I'm at older age, yes. I'm a little bit more wiser, mm-hmm. and karma is real. And yo, and you know, my mom, I will say one thing, it's crazy. My mom said that she said one of the problems that I had when I was younger is I didn't believe in karma. I was one of those people that I had see you suffer right at that particular point in time. Because if you did something to me and I didn't see anything happen to you, I was just like, they just got away with it, you know? Yeah. So she would be like, no, she was just like, you have to let God do what he does. Everybody gets their karma, whether it's good or bad. And I wasn't trying to hear any of that. I was just like, like right now. And they could have been getting karma right then and there, but because I'm not seeing it. Like I said, for years, like over almost 20 years is a really long time to be holding grudges and hating people. And hate ends up really killing you. You know, you just got to let it go. Like, this is probably the most happiest I could say I am, but even then I'm not even completely happy. Like I said, I'm still learning. They're still healing, but I'm way better than I was.
So every day is a marathon. I'm a big Nipsey fan. It's a marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Every day you continue with the journey.
All day.
Ooh, we got a whole documentary over. You got so many jewels and things.
Oh, I was like, I'm gonna stop talking and let you ask the questions
because no, this is actually fantastic because you provided so much value and like your story as it is mm-hmm. true of just providing so much of an uplift for people. Because I'm guarantee you, when people are listening to this or in the future, they're gonna relate to what you went through and how you overcome. Because that is definitely it's like the elephant in the room that needs to be addressed. And to have someone else talk about it, it just eases the other person because now they can feel like they're not alone in this and they can actually continue to move on with their life. So definitely big crush that. Awesome.
Thank you.
So you put a lot of jewels on the table. I'll put like this. So with all that said, like if you could, I'm gonna go ahead and close it up. So with all that said, like if there was anything that you want to leave on the table to be like words of encouragement for somebody that's watching this, what would it be?
Well, it would probably be what I would tell my younger self, like never give up. Like no matter, first of all, everything isn't peaches and cream. It's going to get hard. enjoy your childhood if you're able to. Enjoy all the good moments of it. Never lose your faith. It does get better. It doesn't rain all the time. Like all that stuff might sound like cliche. I thought that crap was cliche back growing up. I was like, what the hell is all that stuff? But it's just like, you've gone through the trauma and it seeming like it rains all the time. And when it rains, it pours.
Just,
my God. We're not even going to get on 2020. but just always keep God first. You know, because prayer is more powerful than people think. And even if you're not even a praying person, just he's there. Just talk it out. Because you have people that are just like, well, I don't pray. Okay, well, just talk. And if you sit still long enough, you can hear something.
I even have like just talk to you. Anybody like what up, God? Look, I'm just talk to you.
Help us out. but one thing I will say, definitely get your education. Learn. Never stop learning. You're never too old to learn. If you have people that are trying to help you, stop self-sabotaging because we all do it in one shape, form, or another. And we're never too good to learn. I found that that's a big problem. It's just like, you know, some of us would be like, oh no, I know this, I know that. And if you just stopped for 1 second and listened and just learned, you probably would have been more in advance, but definitely get school because that was one of my biggest regrets because I could have had my degree. Yes, I can go back and I have, but I could have then had my degrees already and been done with it. Like if you want to get in the industry, finish your education, learn about marketing. Learn about finances. Those would be the main two things I would definitely say to learn about because they don't tell you that because you got to know how to deal with these contracts. And now because of this whole COVID thing, it has completely shifted. Forget a shift. It threw the industry into a whole nother dimension. So now you're going to be dealing with a lot more stuff. Everything's more virtual wise, and I'm pretty sure the contracts are changing a little bit and the projects are changing. So you got to learn the contracts. You got to learn the industry. And like I said, learn the finances because you will get screwed, music and acting, and they will chew you up and spit you out. And if you don't know how to float, you will drown.
Well, well said. You over here just dropped the mic. X stage. I'm done. Out.
And I'm out. Peace out.
Awesome. So I'm greatly appreciate you telling everything, your story, and then how you also overcome your adversity and much more. You are definitely a warrior. So much respect for you on that.
Thank you.
Welcome. So we're going to close everything out. It's another great episode of Next Level Thinking where we always inspiring you to take it to the next level. It's your host, Chris Holmes, and I have my special guest by the name of
Angelique Bates.
Awesome. Make sure you subscribe, share, and keep the message going because you need to take it to the next level. Peace.